Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Sphere of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time arms.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gift and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
We bless you, Jesus. Lift your hands and give Jesus praise from the depth of your heart. Don't just do church, do worship. Don't just do church, do worship. From the depth of your heart, let everything within you bless His holy name. Make sure your heart is yearning to Him, is crying out to Him in adoration, in praise, in thanksgiving. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. He deserves all praise. He deserves all glory. He deserves all honor. He deserves all adoration. So give it to Him. Oh, we bless you, Father. There's none like you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We honor you. We thank you, Father. There's none like you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. You are the only wise God. You are the revealer of deep secrets. Thank you. Lift your voice loud and clear and just thank Him. Bless His holy name. Oh, we honor you, Lord. We thank you. Rashte kefele rus te patakai. Rino sti plante keristo plante krediko patai. Sente kebele to kabai tabanakate. A siglin to kofedish to fede. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. You deserve all thanksgiving. You deserve all honor. You deserve all adoration. We bless you, Father. We thank you. Thank you for your Word that is Spirit and that is alive. Thank you for your quickening Spirit. We give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I didn't hear that amen loud and clear. Amen. Thank you, Father, because we know tonight you are the chief speaker and you will speak to our heart and our lives and you will help us in the name of Jesus. You will strengthen us and let your Word come alive again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Good evening, church. God bless you. Let's give Jesus a big, big hand. And you may please be seated. Thank you. You may please be seated. I know it's been a very busy day in the city of Abuja. All right. I want to specially recognize our centers connected and watching live. Sphere of Life Church, Ibadan, Lagos, Abeokuta, Sphere of Life Church, Ileife, Sphere of Life Church, Kano, and Abuja. All right. Okay. Thank you. And I want to also recognize all those connected online streaming, YouTube, and the radio platform. Let's give them a big welcome. We love you beyond words. We're privileged to have you both on set and online. Amen. All right, tonight I start a very brief series. Are you ready for it? Are you sure? It doesn't look like you are ready. All right, titled Broken Bones. Broken Bones. Amen. So it's a new journey, and I'm trusting God to help us. Amen. I want us to do something. I want us to pray in the Holy Ghost while seated. Something happens when your spirit is ventilated. You'll be able to assimilate more. Is that okay? Pray in the Holy Ghost quickly. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray, and when you are doing so, do it with consciousness. Do it with consciousness. To break into the realm of light. Light. Where light jumps at you. We are not dull of hearing because we are quickened by the Spirit. We are quickened of the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We are not dull of hearing. We are quickened by the Spirit. Please pray. Please pray. Seke frende koshi frande kero kosi plante kero koshinte. Oh yes. Oh yes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles, the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. The book of Psalms, chapter number 51. All right, the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. All right. If you're there, say amen. So I'm going to read the entire verse. In fact, you need to understand this passage of the scripture. I'm going to try to be as simple as possible. This was the psalm David wrote after the atrocity with Bathsheba killing her husband Uriah. It's a very profound psalm. And I want us to hear his thoughts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. There is the mercy of God, but there's also the tender mercies of God. Okay? For the sake of emphasis, let me just give you the difference. You see, the system of mercy is the provision that is made because you could not have measured up. Okay? Mercy is the provision made because you can't measure up by yourself. For instance, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and 4 from verse 1 says, seeing therefore we have this ministry, all right, having received mercy, we do what? We faint not. Say, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestations of truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But he said, we have received this ministry, having received mercy, we faint not. All right, so that this holy calling that God has given to us, we actually have obtained a part in it because mercy spoke first. All right, and that's what the author of Hebrews was trying to say, Hebrews 4 verse 16. Say, let us now therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help. I want to just give you the difference between mercy and tender mercy. All right? So, if simple illustration. Never forget this one. Mercy is what you obtain, all right, in God, all right, because you could not have measured up by your own ability. It becomes tender mercy if after extending mercy, you fail to grow. It has to be tender with it because you are young. Do you understand that simple analogy? Right? That's it. All right? Because the things that David was doing, it is not for kings now. Proverbs 31. It is not for kings. All right? He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may what? Rejoice. Can we read that verse 8 again together? 1, 2, 3, go. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. One more time. All right, to have clearer understanding of that statement he made, let's look at verse 9. He said, hide not your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Are you seeing that now? All right. The anointing to help sinners come back and transgressors get it right is coming because the bones have been broken. I'm going to go further into that. Meaning that now he's not speaking from the point of perfection. He's speaking from the point of mercy that he has obtained. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There is little you can do in your own self-perception and perfection. Let me say this to you. Anything you want to do under God that you feel 100% qualified for, you will not do it well. I've given this simple illustration. Go and check. Campus fellowships, any ministry, the moment they are ordaining somebody into position, and both the person and the church feels this is the most qualified person, experience has shown that he will be the most underperforming person. He will not be able to deliver. All right? Why? Because what it takes to do God's work is actually from the anointing you receive by depending on him. What I'm trying to say is that something must show you the need for a perfect savior. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Something must show you the need for him. So he said, when the bones that you have broken rejoice, he said, cast me not away from your presence. Renew your right spirit within. He said, then I will now be able to teach sinners your ways. And I've said it. It is not everybody that opens the Bible that can help sinners come back. Nah. All right, you'll just be preaching over the head of the people. Let me ask you a question. What has God delivered you from? What has God saved you from? Those are the areas of your broken bones. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going somewhere. All right. This is a very deep passage of scripture. All right. Verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. You, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall flow, all right, forth your praise. For you desire. Now, he now began to enter into some serious matter. This part, all right, please listen. Look at what he said in verse 16. He said, you do not desire sacrifice, else I will have given it. You delight not in burnt offering. You remember what God told Saul through Samuel? He said that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. All right, so he said, give us this scripture in message. Is it a message translation now? From verse 16 now. Psalm 51 from verse 16, message translation. All right, look, I want you to look at what he said. He said, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. Somebody is coming before God and say, God, look at my righteousness. Look at my life. See how that I've never failed you before. I have never lied before. I have never been this. You don't need grace. He said, flawless performance is nothing to you. Look at verse 17 so you can understand. I will read it in, I'm sorry, King James. All right, then we'll read the message. He said, the sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart you cannot despise. Let me tell you something. There was a season I was attending a church. So every last Sunday or so, we do have Holy Ghost, Holy Communion. So we move from our area, then we go to the zone. So we take Holy Communion at the level of the zone. There was a zonal pastor in that church. All right. He has a form of, something was wrong with his leg. He was always limping. So the man has a way of playing the guitar. He plays his guitar. You know who I'm talking about? Plays his guitar. I sat down that the man, I observed. When this man is talking, he's not shouting. He's not making noise. But there is a form of anointing that makes this word hit every spot. I cannot explain. When you hear that, you are hearing the voice of brokenness. The contact point of grace is that place that is broken. Let me tell you something. If you ask me, who is the greatest human being I've met in my life? I think it's one particular guy. Years back, my NGO that I run, we're going to have an award. All right, we're going to have an award presentation for different other NGOs that were doing things similar to what we're doing. We invited them. There was this guy, I just invited the guy. I said, I've been seeing him on Facebook. And then we checked what they were doing, analyzed it. And then, ran through the table, saw that, okay, they were qualified for the award, invited them to come for the meeting. When I met this guy face to face, I had to excuse myself before him to go and cry. There is something powerful about people who are not blinded by their own light. There is something powerful about people who are at the end of their own rope. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you look at the letter that Jesus sent through the angels of the seven churches, the letters that were sent, all right, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamos, the church in Thyatira, the church in Laodicea, the church of Ephesus, and all the churches, you will discover that before he rebuked the rest, he talked about the reputation they have about themselves. The only church that was not rebuked was the church in Smyrna. Give me that scripture. Revelation chapter number 2. Let's look at the orientation. Listen to what I'm saying. If you can get this particular teaching right, people will not be able to understand where the flow of grace is coming from in your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Can they give me that scripture? All right, look at it. It said, write this to Smyrna, to the angel of the church, the beginning and the ending. All right, the first and the final one, the once dead. Can you give me this in King James translation? All right, let's make it very fast. All right, dead and alive. Yes, verse 9 now. He said, I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but you are rich. Many people don't know that spiritual poverty is the highest form of wealth. And that's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. They are the ones that will see God. All right? Listen. Let me tell you the secret. People tell me, I've seen people, friends, people call me and say, what is happening? When you teach, where is this thing coming from? I tell them. I say, every time I want to teach, I'm in tears before God. I am not coming as one who have a personal revelation. My heart still skips. It is coming from the point of, except you help me, I will be a sounding cymbal, clinging cymbal before the people. Your greatest strength must become nothing for life to flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't worry. I've not started, so I need to start. I'm just giving illustration for us to get into this. Let's go back to that Psalm 51. Look at what David was saying. All right. Said this church, they believe they were poor. Jesus said, you are not poor. You are rich. Look at what he told the Laodicean people. He said, if you think you are rich people, he said, you are very wretched. Go and check. Even when it comes to music, I love good music. Okay? But the power to bet a sound that will vibrate through the entire world. It's not in riffs and rounds. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not in riffs and rounds. If you can do it, fantastic. But that strength must become nothing for his own strength to flow. Do you understand that? We are going somewhere. All right, he said, the sacrifice of God are what? Broken spirit and a contrite heart. It means, he said, oh Lord, you will not despise. That is, anywhere God sees brokenness, he can't take off his eyes. Look at that same 17 in Message translation. Quickly. All right, he said, look at it. Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. I learned God worship when my pride was. All right, so what, when he said the bone that you are broken, what is he saying? Something happened to me that broke my pride. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen. Listen. It is possible not to allow God have his way in your life, but you'll still be successful. So this is not about success. You can be in rebellion and still be successful. Yes. But if you are going to become what God wants you to become, he will have to conquer you. If what you want to pursue is more money, get married, have children, no problem. That is table matters. But if it is the route of everything you, Lord, have in stock for me, you will have to go his route. In fact, the moment you sign up for that route, the first thing that will happen is that it will look like from the day you said yes, you began to retrogress. Look at what Daniel said now. They said, allow us eat pulse. Right? If you understand what it means, legumes and water. Some people say beans and water. He said, check us after 10 days. You signed up to follow God. You start comparing yourself with your colleagues the same day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, God, I'm going to follow you. The 10 days is God's appointed season. That 10 days may be 10 years. That 10 days, if they come in the ninth day, everybody will say, look at you, we have left you behind. But when that hand comes, the man will outrun those who are on chariot. Yes, in this kingdom, we are not fast by running. We are fast by waiting. What are we waiting for? The hand. When you sign up, that's why I'm giving caution. Okay? I'm giving caution. But the moment you sign up that this is the life I've chosen, it will start from you being behind. It is the principle. Except a grain of wheat first falls down and dies. And what people don't know is that death is part of progress. You allow people to mourn too soon and you join them to mourn yourself. Look at my life. Self-pity. Look at what I've become. Did you know what I finished with in school? Allow it now. There is a difference between the grain of corn that is sown and the one that is on the shelf. When they are done eating that one, this one is still producing for generations. Let me say this to you. Your life is either like wine or like milk. Milk gets spoiled with time. Wine gets better with time. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. You have everything right in front of you. Plans, purpose, pursuit, everything is clear. I know who to call. They will fix me here, they will fix me there. I can get this settled, this. I don't have any issue. My uncle is this. My sister is this. I'll call them. Then God, in the midst of that, now said, don't. David is saying, there is a dimension of worship that flows. When that thing I rely on is shattered. Let me tell you what it means to be blessed. The blessing is anything and any situation that leaves you with God as your last option. The kind of Christianity we are doing that There are other options. God is just part of them. We have not started. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you illustration now. You are a young girl, 26, 27. You've been dating this guy for 3-4 years. This is it. Marriage. Next thing. When you are preaching or teaching young people about relationship, there is a level of arrogance you will speak with because yours is settled. Two months to introduction, the guy serves you breakfast. They now call you to come and speak to young people about relationship again. It is from these broken bones that the grace to be a speaker now comes. The one you were saying before, you were just blabbing. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a difference between the ones you are boasting about because you have advantage. When your advantages are taken, that's where messages start from. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we are talking about. All right? So suddenly now they serve you breakfast. Say, you go and cry. Because before, when you talk to people about relationship, you say, make sure you dress well. Make sure you have done everything. Guys know the show. Do you understand what I'm saying? When all your formulas are no longer working, that is when you find God. And many of us have plenty of formulas. I tried this one. I tried this then. Okay, once I didn't do it. Sometimes it takes a lifetime for a man to come to the end of his rope. I think the most difficult thing for God to achieve in a man's life is to meet the man at the end of himself. Like for a man to say, I'm tired. Help that girl. I'm tired. I'm done. Like I'm done now. I've tried all my efforts. Nothing is working. All right? I'm at the end of myself now. Say, what type of relationship matters? Say, we are trusting God. This same guy, 2 months ago, just be licking his lips. Say, it's by bending. He wanted to go and ask a girl out. He believed that he has swept the girl off her feet. By the time he gets there, the girl said, you are not even in my thoughts. He's not your kind. Ah. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you get to such end of the road, that's where you find God. Let me show you a scripture. Genesis chapter number 19. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you learning something or you are tired? Let me show you something. All right, Genesis chapter number 19. If you are there, say amen. Okay. All right, give me a moment, please. Genesis chapter number 17, sorry. Genesis chapter number 17. What I'm trying to show you is that what God is trying to do with your life, if we can get this, we can go and start dancing. Because you have a major key. Look at what the Bible is saying, Genesis chapter number 17. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, then God appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. God could not say this when he was in his 70s because then he was following God. But there was the option of Hagar, the servant girl. Ishmael was around the corner. So all those things were happening. But the moment he got to a stage where, listen to what I'm saying, no, the faith journey of Abraham and Sarah began when it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Isaac is not birthed when you are still having menstrual flow. Isaacs are birthed when, do you understand what I'm saying? Isaac is God making a statement, I gave this one. That kind is not birthed when both God and doctors are arguing that we did it. What I'm trying to show you is that all that God has been trying to do is to get you to the end of your road. And then say, are you tired? Have you discovered that you are not that smart? Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you discovered that you are not that intelligent? Have you discovered that you are not as handsome as you think? Having discovered that, come and learn my ways. All right, and that's what the Bible was saying. The book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew 5:3, Message Translation. Matthew 5:3, Message Translation. Look, blessed are the poor in spirit. All right, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of. Ask your neighbor, when will you be tired? Are you following what I'm saying? When will you get tired? Listen. The first bone God broke in the Bible was the ribs of a man. And it was the issue of marriage. God could not achieve it without Adam sleeping. Let's look at all the things that happened when he was asleep. Number one, God broke the ribs. Number two, God closed the side back. Abi. Then God finished his work. If you are awake when God is walking, you will hijack the woman when God is not done. Give me like that. I'm 27 now. This is my plan. Go to sleep. A lot is achieved when you sleep. A lot is achieved when you enter into rest. Agitation brings nothing. Say you are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and of his rule. Something happened when Abraham clocked 99. One of the things that happened was that there's a way brokenness will make you more hospitable. Go and check. Anybody who is not giving to hospitality feels they don't need anything from anybody. I want to say this. I stand to be corrected, but I say it, all right, based on personal observation. It's not a doctrine. Some of the most hospitable people I have seen are those trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Do you know what it means to trust God for the fruit of the womb? Okay, don't let's even stay there because it's a sensitive matter. Do you know what it means to wait on God for something that you know that part of the option is that it may never come? If you listen to what I'm saying, if you are waiting on God, let's say for instance, as a man, you are waiting on God for a life partner, all right, that he has ordained for you. You are trusting God, who is this person? It is not because you don't have the ability to go outside of his will to ask somebody out. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you chose to wait for him to bring his choice. And we don't know when that will happen. The person waiting on God for a child, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. The devil keeps reminding the person every day that, are you aware you may never have a child in this head? When people are at the hand of themselves like that, you find plenty grace around them. Let me say this though. There are things we say, just talk, boast, because you agree with many advantages and you think you have a message. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody was born in a family where there's a covenant inheritance of prayer. Father, you are the third generation of a praying family. Say, I spent time in prayer. No. Let me give you an instance. The fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, part of that fruit is gentleness. True? That gentleness is not the natural one people are born with. When you are done exhausting that one, that's when we tap to the resources of this one. That's natural ability that you have. A situation will have to happen that will get you to the end of yourself in that. Then you will now learn prayer in the midst of tribulations. When you learn that and you speak, you will now speak seasoned words. That's when you'll be able to do like David, that now I can teach sinners your ways. You can't before until your bones are broken. But listen, we're going somewhere. All right? All that I'm trying to do is to bring you into the introduction. Are you following what I'm saying here? Is somebody being blessed by what I'm teaching? Is this simple enough? All right. I'd rather prefer to be simple than to be deep. Let me show you a passage of scripture. There's a story. Tonight, I just want to walk you through a story. Okay? A story. And from that story, we are going to touch many things. And that is the story of this very amazing young man, Jacob. Very fascinating story. All right. So I want us to check something together. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 32. Matthew, chapter number 32. All right. Before I begin to read this passage of scripture, I want to give a background description of what Jacob represents. Are you with me now? Good. Jacob was that guy that words went ahead of him, that the elder brother will serve him. And the way he lived his life, it was clear that he got the gist. All right? It was clear that he got the gist. And he tried to get it by his own human effort. Jacob represents a very smart young man who is afraid of being left behind. Listen to what I'm saying. Anywhere you see pride, there is fear. A proud man is afraid. That's why he sings his own song, so that history can favor him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That if I blow my own trumpet, everybody will know I'm a powerful man. I will not wait for people to talk about me. Let me do it. Anybody who is proud is what? Afraid. Anybody who is rude is scared. Rudeness is a lazy man's way of showing strength, because he can't measure up emotionally. Alright? So it's this young man that was afraid. He was doing the things he was doing because he was afraid. The mother somehow had given him the gist. Your brother will do this. He was afraid. So he said, give me your birthright. You take this food. Are you following what I'm saying here? He was scared. Alright? That if he doesn't find his way to get the blessing, he may never be remembered. Alright? He was a young, smart boy. All right, doing all he could, all right, to be relevant. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, this same guy requested for the birthright from the brother in exchange for food. He and the mother agreed together and deceived their father. All right, and he obtained a word from the father and he ran away, never to see both the mother and the father again. Okay? It was just someone doing all he could to survive. Just trying to survive. Trying to run the street. Okay? God was also, on the other hand, trying to get him to a point where he could get him to enter the blessing that was on his lineage. But the more God was trying, the more his effort was delaying it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you read the story of Esau and Jacob and the father, when you read that moment where the father said to Esau, go and bring me the venison. I want to bless you, then die. What you will think in your natural human mind is that if Jacob did not interrupt that flow, the father will give the blessing to Esau. Is God's hand that short?
Was it not the same Jacob that was going to bless the sons of Joseph? If you remember Manasseh. At the last moment, God said he should what? Cross the hand. The issue is that when what God has promised looks like it is slipping off your hands, that is the exact time faith is known. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it is clear, I may never have this thing again. Let me give you an illustration of that. I want to give you an illustration. Imagine. Look at this situation. All right? Look at this situation. God told you that this sister is your wife. 2 months after God said that, you didn't even know how to go and meet her. You are just becoming friends, just gisting. This is all these brothers that will be talking on WhatsApp. Then the sister just sent a message to you that, please pray along with me. Oh, I'm having introduction with my fiancé. The first thing that will happen is that saliva will dry from your mouth. You are confused. You are sweating. You are all that. She noticed that he didn't reply on time. And he replied with, oh, praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? And then, maybe somehow, you are expecting that when they go for the introduction, or rain will fall, it will happen. They did the introduction clean and clear. Everything happened. And in your sincerity, you went back to God. He did not say no. He didn't say yes. When God has spoken, and situations are happening contrary to what he said, and he did not speak again, he's saying, I'm still where I was. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, though. It is very easy to wait when the wind is not that contrary. But the moment everything happening is against what God has said he will do, that's when we know men of faith. All right? Even at that moment, can he say, my spiritual father has shared his story himself so I can share it. All right? Mama was, all right, he had done introduction with somebody else. And God had told him for over 10 years before that that's your wife. And the person has done introduction. After introduction, they went to check genotype. They said the thing. They know what it is. What I'm trying to show you is that sometimes God allowed the thing get to the extreme to see who you are. He did the same thing with Abraham now. He said, kill Isaac. He did not talk on the road and say, Abraham, you are a good man. It was until Abraham tied Isaac and raised the knife to slash his throat. Then God said, don't lay your hand on that guy. Now I know that you fear me. What could have happened? The same God is on the throne. It's the venison of Esau. God said, no. Did I not say to you before that this belonged to Jacob? God can interrupt. Rebekah and Jacob were too fast because of fear. When you interrupt the process of God, you elongate your wilderness experience. Are you following what I'm saying? You elongate it. You cannot get the result of faith in the energy of the flesh. You cannot bet an Isaac in the flesh. Listen now, when you look at Abraham trusting God for a child, was he impotent? But in Sarah, will your seed be called now? God has said, the seed I want to give you. This is the woman that... So the issue was not Abraham's inability to impregnate other women. He could do that every day of his life. And it was proven with Hagar. Which is my next series, Isaac and Ishmael. To study how a man can bet two extremes and how to avoid the pitfall. Alright? He could do it. He could do anything he wanted to do. But faith now is, I choose to do it your way. I'm saying the things you are waiting on God for, you can do it your way. All God honors is that you forsake your own way to say, I choose to do it his way. That's faith. Amen. Say, I walk in faith. Come on, say it again. I walk in faith. All right, so I'm going somewhere with the story, this story of Esau and Jacob. Okay? So let's turn our Bibles. We read this on Sunday. I just want to reiterate, then I show you a few things about this place. All right? So if you look at the life of Jacob, you see smartness every time, trying to outsmart. He's a guy with so many formulas. He knows the way. No peace. He's right. There's no rest for him. His head is always calculating. If this one doesn't work, it will work. All right? If Nigeria no work, Japan or UK. If UK no do, Jamaica or to Australia. All right? You look at all this formula. The person has options, and you cannot see where God is in the equation. You can do life, and you can have an economy that you can even